in Pakistan. Do you know what's happening with Nescafe in Pakistan?
No.
Have you ever heard of Nescafe specialty coffee? Roasted coffee?
Never.
Everybody should go and look this up. I have been talking to the SCA about this for 3 years.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapper Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapperforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details.
Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward, friends. I'm your host, Lee Safar, and this is episode 5 of what could be, you know, called a series that is the end of specialty coffee, the end of coffee in general. I promise this is going to be a more hopeful episode than the series has been. But and the reason that we have been exploring these issues is because we're not being doom and gloom. And that's the saddest part about it. We are not being, we're not catastrophizing here. Bram and I have been talking in this series about the validity of specialty coffee in 2024 and beyond. And I just want to say, everything that we have said is actually not being catastrophic. We are being realistic.
These are all like first-hand accounts.
Right.
Indeed. There's no doomsday thinking, I should say. This is actual stories.
And I want people to understand that because I see a lot of people on LinkedIn saying things like, I think we need more positive conversations in the coffee industry. Nothing we are talking about here is catastrophizing. We are not being negative. We are not leaning negative here in this series. We are talking about the consequences of us as an industry not paying attention to the problems that needed to be fixed much, much sooner than right now.
And I think there's a lot of positive conversations, actually, but not a lot of positive action, right? There's a lot of conversation.
Right.
Oh, there's always so much conversation.
Right.
But so little action.
If we're looking at the positives, and I hate that term, the idea of positive and negative, because what you're saying is what I call toxic positivity, right? Mm-hmm. This idea of positive speak and, you know, fucking wish it into action and just focus on it and it'll happen. And no, that's not the way that the world works. So in your opinion, Bram, is there any hope for the future of coffee?
Yes, of course there is. But it's not easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy. And I think I'm very hopeful. I mean, I literally just opened a coffee roastery. Mm-hmm. So of course I'm hopeful, right? But it's not going to be easy. I think there can be markets where it's still, well, quote unquote, easy, right? I'm talking about relative easiness. I think if you're still in a city with at least 50,000 inhabitants and it's not yet a specialty coffee roastery, you can still open up a specialty coffee roastery or a specialty cafe and penetrate that business. But the amount of towns, cities that size without a specialty coffee roastery is incredibly small. I'm like blown away. I live in Germany now, and I live in a small city, I'd say 160,000 people, and there's like 4 or 5 specialty coffee roasters here.
Wow.
And I drive to other cities and towns, and I always like to drink specialty coffee, so Google specialty coffee roaster, and that will always pop up. If you find a town, if you want to open a cafe, just find a town where there's none and there's still opportunity, but you're going to be hard-pressed to find that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's not easy anymore, because there used to be such a different product to commodity coffee that is going away, as we spoke about in previous episodes as well. Yet I'm hopeful. Because there's still so much value, especially coffee, but you need to be doing it right. It's not easy anymore. It's not just, let's open up and even if it is New City. Just open up, buy some coffee, roast it light, pack it in a nice bag and slap a cool sticker on it. That's not enough anymore. That was a wonderful period of thirsty coffee, of, you know, a lot of growth and a lot of people doing a lot of awesome things. But the business is maturing a lot and the market is trading a lot. But that doesn't mean there's no hope, that there's no opportunities. I mean, there's plenty of saturated markets where there's still great companies emerging. Like the water company. What's their name? Liquid Death. Super saturated markets, bottled water, can still do new things, right? So, but you need to be smart about what you're doing nowadays. You need to think well, and in my opinion, think very well about your green supply as well, and well about what products are you serving to continue to differentiate yourself from other coffee roasters. Because I think nowadays it's incredibly easy to buy as a consumer single origin coffee. That's like the only thing is that it's not a blend. Then you're not special anymore. So business will suffer from this fact in a way, but there's hope for people who are sitting down and making new plans, and they can fry, right? I feel like they're, in a way, the specialty coffee market is saturated, but there's still opportunities, let's say, in other markets with specialty coffee, for example. So many opportunities still out there. But I feel like the taste, it's like the low-hanging fruit is done. There's no more low-hanging fruit in the specialty coffee market. But there's still growing appetite for specialty coffee products. But I feel like you have to think different about your business. I, for example, with my roastery, hope to, in the future, be able to apply to government tenders. The governments are laying out legislation and standards for everything they're purchasing, including coffee. And I hope to be able to participate in these standards and win these standards and serve coffee for my producing partners there. So there's, you know, it's still market dominated by commodity coffee. So there's hope, but you need to start thinking different about how things are done. Not just roast some coffee light, pop it in a bag and sell it. That business model is great, but it's, the growth there is done. It's full. It's full. But the market, the industry, the coffee industry is still huge, still growing in a way, and the specialty segment is growing most of that, but maybe not anymore where it used to be.
And, you know, I help people build businesses. That's my bread and butter. And I see the shifts, and I do it all over the world. And there is no shortage of people wanting to open coffee shops. There is no shortage of people wanting to open roasteries. There is no shortage of people coming to me saying, I want to buy a whole bunch of coffee. What I think the missing element is managing people's expectations around how successful they can be when they do that. So when someone comes to me and says, I want to buy an enormous volume of coffee, I want it to be good coffee. What do you mean by good? What do you mean by good value? How much are you prepared to pay for it? I can help put you in contact with the people who are going to buy, give you all the coffee that you want. But I can't promise you that it's going to be at a price point that you're prepared to pay, or at the quality that you're looking to pay, that you're looking to receive for what you expect to pay for it. They're two different conversations, right? Once you start bringing into focus what someone's expectations are and the reality of the situation, now we're having a much more sobering conversation.
And I feel like that is what we're talking about. Is there hope? Of course, I do want to bring up a point again of what's not so hopeful is that that conversation I've had many, many times. The exact conversation you're describing right now. When I was buying for hundreds of different groceries around the world, it was always like, I want this coffee with this and that, and it needs this and that price. And I was like, the things you're asking are simply not enough. You cannot have this for that. It's just not possible. cannot walk up to the car dealership and ask for a Lambo for 10.
No.
So that, and that is, I think there's a lot of, going to be a lot of these realization moments for a lot of companies to rethink, to look at their business, to start being serious about their business and saying, okay, what can I do? How can I make this work? Where should I go? And if you do that, then you can thrive, right? Because I think most people will not do this and will suffer. But if you do it all well, if you set yourself up well, calculating things well, good green supply, good business, then you can thrive. Because unfortunately, people will suffer, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that people are going to do it well are actually going to thrive, but they will actually thrive, unfortunately, more over the backs of other specialty coffee companies than over the backs of the commodity coffee companies.
And I suspect there's going to be a lot of failures in order for these companies to survive. We're going to see, in my opinion, we're going to see a lot of businesses closing over what is a very volatile time. Because one of the things we did not talk about in the last conversation was the cost of living crisis being a reason why coffee might be going away. The idea economics is another factor in what's causing that to become a problem. But we're talking about hopeful things. So what do I think? Is the hope off the back of that? Well, there's going to be hard times happening. And like I see coffee, the potential for coffee, if I want to be really hopeful, and this is the thing that I hang on to, is the analogy of a phoenix. Mm-hmm. In that this thing is going to burn to the ground. And out of that, is going to be something different that evolves out of that, that is still coffee. So we may end up with an industry that has much fewer neighborhood cafes and many, many more vending machines, or many, many more automated cafes, or many more businesses that are direct to consumer, or people are not going to, let me say this way. Consumers are going to drink as much coffee as they can afford to drink based on the price of what coffee is at the end of the day. Because if coffee does diminish, there's going to be less supply, which is going to drive the price of coffee up.
Yep.
However, because of consolidation, Nestlé is going to secure all of the land that they need to grow all of the coffee they need to produce instant coffee. They will be a monopoly. In Pakistan, do you know what's happening with Nescafe in Pakistan?
No.
Have you ever heard of Nescafe specialty coffee? Roasted coffee?
No. Never.
Everybody should go and look this up. I have been talking to the SCA about this for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Nescafe are the number one competitor in Pakistan for specialty coffee cafes. They have a roasted coffee brand. They go and poach staff from the specialty coffee shops there. They bring them onto their brand, and the bags are called Nescafe specialty coffee. And that is what I think is going to be a consequence of all of this fuckery that's going on right now. And they have known this for years.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's why I'm there's hope for the industry for some people, but not for everybody. And indeed, these big guys, they're not going to lose, right?
At all.
They're not going to lose. And I love specialty coffee, and I started with specialty coffee as a hobby, like most people.
Mm-hmm.
And most people turn a hobby into a business. But I'm afraid that hobby business is not going to work any longer. But as you say, it's a phoenix, and that opened up the opportunity for people to look at
coffee, innovation,
who look at business and who will still buy great specialty coffee, serve it well, serve the producers well, serve the consumers well, and run a more stable business. So unfortunately, in the hobby businesses, to some extent, they can die out, they can suffer. And I hope there's going to be new specialty coffee companies doing things better that can take up that space, buy up that demand for green coffee, and buy it up better, higher prices, better managed businesses. And it's not going to be Nescafe specialty coffee taking over that market share, right? Well, because the consumer doesn't know this, unfortunately.
I don't think the consumer is going to have the luxury of caring, because given the direction that the economy is going to go in and is going in, and I'm not going to bore everybody with the details of that, but if you know, you know. Given the direction that the cost of living crisis is going, and given the direction the consumer behavior is going as a consequence of what's going on with the economy, we're going to see consumer behavior shift, not away from coffee. They will just adjust the quality of the coffee that they are going to be able to buy based on what they can afford. And that will leave Nescafe specialty coffee perfectly positioned to be the next option. So,
exactly.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And I feel like that's where specialty companies, if they want to be hopeful, they need to adjust as well, right? You cannot just, I don't think a lot of business can be built on purely 85 or 86 plus point coffees, right? If that's your, there are some businesses who have done that, right? Which is applaudable. But I don't think all businesses can be built on that in any part of the supply chain.
Except, can I just interrupt you there? I know for a fact, that there are businesses that are well known and globally known that are buying most of their coffees 86 plus, that are going to producers and saying, our business model is not working. We need you to cut the price on these really hyper specialty coffees.
Exactly. So it's not working.
It's
right?
not working. And that's
exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's not a model that works.
And there are a handful that are making work are staying small because of that reason, which is fine. That's just their business, but they know that they cannot grow business with score. The point I want to get to is that we need to meet the consumer somewhere as well, right?
Yeah.
The hyper market, that's not the sole solution for our industry's problem. And I feel like there's a lot of hope in 84 point coffees for producers, for roasters, and for consumers. That's where we can all meet halfway.
Mm-hmm.
I think we do this with integrity on the sourcing side. If we buy farms, pay them more as their untraceable counterparts, roast them efficiently, effectively as a business, we can still give consumers great coffee at affordable prices and reward the producers for it. But it takes an effort to do that.
What do you think is the number one innovation that is being pitched to me at the moment when it comes to consumer?
To consumer. R2D?
No.
Capsules, no.
No.
80 coffee, commodity coffee.
Home roasting. Benchtop home roasting equipment. Engineers that were approached by a barista or by a consultant or by a coffee roaster, and they were asked to come up with a benchtop roasting machine that also brews your coffee and also steams your milk, and you can go from green to cappuccino all in one press of a button. I get pitched that idea maybe once a week.
Interesting. I've seen it as well. As well, like the shop roasters, right? They are becoming more common. 2 kilo, 3 kilo.
Just so you know, roaster. Nescafe, Nescafe cafes in Pakistan and in countries around the world, they have this. They sell these machines as well.
Yeah, the Roast Atelier.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Roast Atelier.
Looks terrible.
It almost doesn't matter. Because now because now what you're the selling proposition on this is freshly roasted coffee in your home.
Yeah. I mean, it does sound good. I'm just not personally happy with it because I'm not convinced about where the green comes from. It's going to be the same green. And I'm always focused on, you know, what can we do with the green coffee?
How I can hear we you. Make... I'm with you on this.
Exactly. And this is helping the consumer, but I don't think it's going to make a change for the producer. And I want to be hopeful for the producers as well, which we cannot be without meeting the consumer. But maybe these things, you know, indeed it's an innovation. It's a start. Maybe it can develop. Maybe it can develop into specialty coffee as well. Should keep an open mind to these weird green to cappuccino machines.
I agree.
And if you can supply green for that in a better way, retailing green is obviously going to give a higher price. As yeah, who knows? There is a world out there, Lee, you know, with hope, with new crazy things that we may have to consider.
Well, this is where, when Diego told me about what you guys were doing with Paso Paso, this is where I was like, okay, this is exciting. This is different. This is innovative. And everything I expect from Diego.
Yeah, he was completely on board from the moment I mentioned it to him. It's a completely crazy idea, and it's almost as crazy as having a machine that turns green coffee into a cappuccino at home.
But we need that kind of thinking. Like it is not out of the scope of this conversation to say how absolutely necessary innovative thinking is needed right now, given the volatility that we have in the market. If you're going to survive this and you want hope in this and you're listening to this podcast, what I would recommend, go and find people that are smarter than you.
Mm-hmm.
Come together and workshop, like find people from across the supply chain that think like you, but maybe smarter than you, and come up with some innovative ideas of how you can solve a problem that currently exists or will exist and find a way to monetize it. That's some free consulting for anyone that's out there.
Yeah. And especially coffee is not bad. There's hope. It's just not easy anymore.
Right.
And I'm not sure if it was easy 20 years ago, but no. It seems that it was easier back then in a way. But there's hope and there's things we can do with, you know, it's time to look in the mirror and to think a little bit harder about what we can do. And that's also what I hope to achieve with Paso Paso, is to show other people in the industry that there is hope and there are still things to be done, right? We're not there yet. And that's maybe what frustrates me sometimes, that when I read some reports or websites or posts, the specialty coffee industry is presented as the holy grail and we've solved all world's problems.
No.
And that's not true. It's very far from true.
We create a significant amount of those problems.
Exactly. So we need to challenge people to remain curious, hopeful, innovative, but mostly to continue to think critically, right? We cannot just sit down and say like, okay, well, you know, it's now light roast and it tastes like whatever. Now I fixed the road.
Yeah. And I just want to say something, folks, coffee competitions, not going to fix fucking anything. Nothing. And I will die on this hill. Coffee competitions are going to fix fucking nothing for anybody. Everybody who keeps saying that this is where innovation is shown and it represents the producer, it's a lie. The only people who win from coffee competitions are the people who are putting on the expos and the equipment manufacturers that are sponsoring them. It does not promote community. Please think about it. These people who are putting these on are asking you to compete with each other and then falling under the guise of community. Community doesn't happen when you're competing against each other. One person walks away happy, everybody else walks away defeated.
Mm-hmm.
Coffee competitions are not going to fix anything. It's my belief coffee competitions are going to become a thing of the past. But we'll see what happens with that. I mean, I would not be unhappy if that happened. We're pursuing this elitist endeavor when there were stakeholders that needed everybody in the industry to be focused on these fucking competitions so that they could buy their equipment and that they could buy tickets to these events. In the meantime, producers were failing and the supply chain was failing. And now look where we are.
Exactly.
And we deserve it.
Yeah, but there's so much innovation, Lee. But I don't think we're looking for it in the right place.
Right. Coffee competitions is not where to look for it.
And there's innovation in producing and process and all that, but it's still, and I love that. And my partners do that and are very good at it and produce some amazing coffees, but it's so boxed in still, right? It's still just scratching the surface of what is actually possible in the coffee industry. And I don't think we, or the industry and me being part of it for a long time as well, we love patting ourselves on the back. We love applauding ourselves. We love saying we're so innovative. Oh my God, we're so good. We're doing everything so different. But fundamentally, no, it's not different. And secondly, we can do all this, right? But we're not challenging fundamentals of the industry.
You know you're in trouble when the most talked about thing in 2023 is an argument on social media about frozen fucking balls. That was that was about the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen in our industry.
Mm-hmm.
I think what excites me and gives me the most hope, is that this is going to be a time where smart, empathetic, really intelligent people in this industry who care about coffee and care about people are going to come up with solutions that the people who were pretending to care couldn't have ever have dreamed up. And this is why I'm excited about what you guys are doing.
Thank you, Lee. I appreciate that a lot. And that's, I love that description. And I hope that I can be there in 5, 10, 20 years.
I hope so too.
That's the dream.
And we need to conspire to the success of people who are trying to solve legitimate problems, because I think that the biggest goal needs to be here and the biggest focus. We don't need to solve the whole supply chain. Everyone needs to solve the microclimate around them, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you focus on your ecosystem and you focus on making sure that you and the 5 producers that you're working with are all going to be okay, well, then that's a part of the supply chain that we don't have to worry about anymore.
Exactly.
And if we can replicate that 1,000 times, we are infinitely better than anybody trying to sell frozen balls.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Lee. Because this may indeed seem all very catastrophic and whatnot, and it's all way too big to solve. And you kind of feel, we become very apathetic by it, right? Like, well, it's all too complicated. It's all too big. Nothing I can do, but it requires a million small actions to fix this problem. And the coffee industry, especially coffee industry, is built on all these independent business owners who can all take decisions, tough decisions, but to do better and to challenge themselves, to challenge their business. And it's not an easy time for anybody. But at the same time, if you're hiding behind, oh, everybody's doing it, or nobody's going to notice, that's kind of what everybody is doing. And if everybody would be doing the opposite, caring, and just indeed, as you say, you know, if everybody's caring about their microclimate, the handful of producers, microclimate, which is a handful of coffee shops, or just your neighborhood, or whatever, really start focusing on what you're doing and doing it well, and building a solid business foundation behind it as well, then the industry can improve. But it needs the effort of everybody, combined with a couple of new innovative ideas, and then we get hope, right?
And I love that that's where we're going to end the series, because that to me is what the future is going to be about. We are going to have the consolidation, but we're going to have small, good people doing good things. How can people find out more about Paso Paso?
Good question. On our website, pasopaso.com, on our Instagram, Paso Coffee, at World of Coffee Copenhagen. We'll be there walking around Amsterdam Coffee Festival very soon as well. And on our farms, of course, reach out, visit our farms. We have open doors always.
Fantastic. Folks, you can check the show notes for details. Bram, this has been a fantastic conversation. Thank you for being so generous in exploring these ideas with me. It's been a delight. So thank you.
And my pleasure.
I hope you come back again.
Yes. Hopefully we can talk in 10 years. 10 years. Let's see if we're right or wrong.
I'm hoping we revisit what Paso Paso is doing every year so that we can celebrate your success. So let's see how that goes.
Oh, I'll hope for that. Indeed.
Okay. Well. Would you sign off our series for us?
Of course. Peace, love, and peanut butter. And have a great rest of your day.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon. And stay tuned for more great conversations on The Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.